What's up, guys? Before the episode starts, really quick, if you're not a part of the Dental Marketer Society, that's the Dental Marketer Facebook group, go be a part of it. Go join the Facebook group. It's the Dental Marketer Society. I'm going to put a link in the show notes below. This Facebook group is only for the podcast listeners. So if you're listening to this, then go join it, right? All right, let's get on with the episode. All right, guys, I got on the podcast Laura Hatch. Laura, how's it going?
Awesome. Thank you for having me back. I'm super excited.
No. Thank you for coming back. Last episode, you were on episode 94, and now this is, I think, episode in the 150s. We talked about on the last one what to never say on the phone. Do you remember or no? It was January 17th.
I do vaguely. I've been on lots of podcasts, which is a good thing. I'm not, and I talk a lot. So there's a lot of stuff out there that I'm talking about. But yeah, I do definitely. I remember I enjoyed speaking with you. So
I think you say that to everyone, but that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. No, I'm just kidding.
No, there are some. I'm going to tell you, there are sometimes you're kind of like, can we have a conversation? Because it's not flowing very well. There's some that just don't flow well. So I remember us having a good time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Are you right now in? Where are you at right now?
I'm based out of San Diego. Uh-huh. And if anybody listening knows San Diego, I just bought a house and moved to Coronado, which is like the best part of San Diego.
Miguel's is there.
I'm sitting in my home office in Coronado, California.
Wow. Have you been to the Mexican restaurant Miguel's?
I have.
Oh, I love that.
Multiple times.
Their nachos are the best. Man. You're living like in paradise, pretty much.
I can ride a bike there. I was down at Hotel Del yesterday. I mean, it is definitely. I travel a lot. I speak a lot and travel around the country. And I tell everybody I love to come back to San Diego. And now, ultimately, I love Coronado because it just feels like kind of living a little vacation town. So you can't be stressed here.
Where were you? Weren't you in San Diego before? Or no?
I was, but I lived in suburbia San Diego. So my kids were in high school, well, elementary and high school, so I raised my kids, but now my son graduates in a month, and he goes to college, so I figure I'm due to move. I did my time in suburbia, which is a great place for raising kids, but now I wanted to have more of a different lifestyle.
Man, that's insane, man. Coronado is really beautiful. I really like it there. We probably go there. Uh-huh.
I was going to say, if anybody's coming here and needs advice or suggestions or whatever, besides what we're going to talk about in this podcast, I can tell you about Coronado and places to go.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a while since you've been on the podcast, and we're going to get into that and talk more about it. I was, right before the podcast, maybe like 10 minutes before, I Googled your name, right? Laura Hatch. And obviously, you come up as Front Office Rocks, right? And so...
Yep.
You have a lot going on, man, like a ton. For some reason, I thought it was just front office and that's it. But you guys provide training for receptionists, right? Scheduling coordinator, treatment coordinator. And this is what I wanted to ask, because this is office manager, doctors, you provide training for everybody. But break it down to me really quick. What's the difference between a treatment coordinator and a dental financial coordinator?
Not much. So I broke the, when I built the website, I built it on positions in a dental office, but not every office has the same position. Sometimes there's one person doing everything. Mm. And then sometimes there's 20 people or whatever. So I separated financial coordinator from treatment coordinator because the purpose of the two are different. The treatment coordinator's purpose is for case acceptance, and filling the schedule. The financial coordinator's, responsibility is money and collections. Now that might be one and the same person, but we wear multiple hats everybody wears multiple hats in the dental office. But in the front office, when I'm doing a certain thing, I need to make sure I'm taking on that hat. I know what that purpose is. And so for example, if I'm answering the phones, even though I might be the office manager, but if I answer the phone, I'm the receptionist at that point. So I broke it up separately with the training so that, because I teach a lot about why is this thing we're doing, why is this job, why is a consultation and a confirmation call, not what's the purpose behind it. So they're all one and the same. And nowadays I just met somebody the other day, and she's the director of First Impressions, which I think is great. But, you know, she's the receptionist, but she's the director of First Impressions. So everyone's coming up with great names and things, but ultimately they need to know what their purpose is. And that's where I thought financial, you know, financial coordinator versus treatment coordinator have the same ultimate goal, but different purposes in it.
That sounds super cool. Like that, hey, I'm the director of First Impressions. Oh, snap.
I know,
what?
Right?
What is that?
I think that's, to give credit where credit is due, I think that's a Gary Cady. I think Gary Cady, who's an amazing speaker and consultant, I think that's what he recommends offices call their receptionist. So it's an office that was at one of my seminars that I know is a Gary Cady client. So that's where that comes from. But it's a cool idea, right?
Yeah, that is cool. I've heard of Director of First Impressions, right? And I've also heard of New Patient Concierge. And
right.
I thought that one was cool. What other ones have you heard where... Do you think, like, these names kind of... Because to me, for example, I know if I was, like, starting up, right? Like, as in an office, and I applied as a receptionist, and then they're like, hey, I'm going to promote you to a director of First Impressions. You know what I mean? There's some kind of entitlement to that. There's some kind of, like, ooh, thank you so much, you know? Can I put that on
a
business card?
If it's done the right way... And the person with whatever the title is understands the purpose behind it, I think it's great. I think it's fun. I think it gives you your purpose and all of that. I think sometimes offices will give these unique names to positions, but there's not a lot to back it, right? Mm. For example, you know, like director of First Impressions, but they're like, okay, great, I'm the receptionist. And they're not, they don't really understand how great a first and how important a first impression is. Well, it doesn't matter what you call that person, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not really taking it on to heart. It's kind of, I compare it to, there's some offices that have like certain scripts of how they answer the phone, certain funny or interesting or taglines, right?
Yeah.
And for me, it's fine, but it's not necessarily always what you say, it's how you say it. So an example I always give is I called into an office recently and she answered the phone, it's a sunny day at ABC Dental, can I help you? And I was like, I don't think it's a sunny day, and I don't think you actually like saying what you're saying, you know.
So
I would say that the titles are great and the words you give them are great and all that, but they have to feel it from their heart, which is one of the things that I teach at Front Office Rocks.
So let's just say they don't feel it from their heart. Like, okay, for example, if it's the person you hired someone and you're like, okay, you're going to be the director of First Impressions. And they're like, okay, great. I'm just a receptionist, right? That's how they think. How can you change their mentality? Should you change it? Or should you just be like, this is not a good fit. We need to find somebody else.
That's a big question. It's a hard question.
Uh-huh.
But I guess my start is, three things, I guess. It's kind of did you hire the right person and do they care? I was just recently at a leadership conference and I want to talk more about this in our industry because I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody who cares outweighs experience in my mind, if you've got somebody on your team who cares about the patients and the practice and helping you grow and they're teachable, I would keep that person over somebody who knows it all but doesn't care. So I think first is care. I think second is, have you taught them why? Have you talked to them about why this is important? Like, why is it important that we give our patients amazing first impressions? Why is it important? You as the receptionist are amazing when patients call in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, because a lot of times we just tell our team what to do. Answer the phone, smile when you answer, be nice. Like, okay, fine, but why, right? So there should be why behind everything. And then lastly, are you giving them training? And that's, again, where I've kind of developed what I do, because there hasn't been a way to train team members on this type of stuff. We can train on clinical skills and soft practice management software and, you know, how to put out reviews. But there hasn't been a way until now to really train on the soft skills and the communication skills and the importance behind them. So if you've got somebody who cares and you've talked about the why and they're trainable, that's a keeper all day long. If they don't have one of those, if they don't really get the why, they're not trainable or they don't care, then that's somebody probably that you want to think twice about.
I like that. Care outweighs experience. That's true, man.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And so many, especially because I know you have a lot of new dentists who listen to this, so especially for the front office, so many dentists feel they have to hire somebody with dental experience. And I say the reason I started Front Office Rocks is because I don't believe you do. I didn't have dental experience when I started. Mm-hmm. I had communication and management, marketing and HR and sales. I learned dental. We can teach people dental, but sometimes you just can't teach them to smile and multitask and have a good personality. So you don't necessarily always have to hire somebody with experience. You know, hire somebody because of their attitude, because they care and that they're teachable. And there's resources now to be able to do that, to help them.
Hmm. Okay. I like that. So we got that part down. Then I also saw you got live events happening, right, as well, normally that you do?
Yeah.
Like, are they live seminars?
Yeah, and just to, since you and I last spoke, so I have Front Office. It's called Front Office Rocks, and uh-huh. I started it because I'm the front office. I'm the office manager, and that's my forte. So, and I didn't think, like I said, there was enough training for the front office. But now uh-huh. we've actually added back office training, too. Uh-huh. So we have clinical, we have assistant hygienist, doctor, and team training added to the site at no extra cost, because I found now that I've gotten everything in there for the front office, there a lot of my clients are like, but what about the dental assistants? What about the hygienists? And so we've just added more content for the whole team. And then on top of that, I have live events and a book, and I'm writing articles and all that great stuff, which I love. But yeah, so it's started focused on front office, but there's the addition of back office. And then I do live events a couple times a year, and I'm speaking all around the country trying to share this message.
Man, Laura, you are, you're like super big. You know what annoys me sometimes is when I'm like, when people ask me sometimes like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, busy. But then I hear like your schedule and I'm like, okay, like you're busy. I'm over here just chilling. I wanted to ask, I saw on the website too, I thought you were, I know you're the owner and the creator, right? So you have a yep. COO as well?
Well, so when I started, it was me.
Uh-huh.
It was literally just me. But it's growing. So I built my company. I think I'm up to about 11 team members now. And they're all different. They all handle different things. So I have somebody who handles my live events. I have my COO in title, right? So mm-hmm. she runs the operations of everything, because I am on the road a lot. I speak a lot. I'm going to a lot of state meetings now. So somebody has to run the business. I have an IT team who does my website, because we're all website based. It's all online. So we've got to make sure that our website works mm-hmm. for our clients. And then now I have a customer service team to check in with the doctors and the teams and be there for support, because a lot of offices will sign up for my training, but then they don't know how to implement it, because mm-hmm. we're so focused in the dental office on production. And when you integrate training into the practice, you have to step away from production a little bit and actually let your team train. And so a lot of doctors don't really know how to do that. So I have a customer service team now. So each office is, you know, assigned a customer service rep to be there to support them, to help them with the training, implementing the training, and then integrating it into the practice.
That's so hard. And that's interesting you brought that up, because like, especially when you're starting out, and then maybe you might have, okay, you have your student loan debt, right? And then on top of that, you're like, okay, now I have this humongous debt. I just did a startup or acquired a practice, maybe a little bit over $1 million, right, in total. And to say like, hey, chill out on production a little bit, right? Chill out on other things and focus on training. It makes sense, but how can it make more sense to a doctor when they feel like I can't chill out? Like I have all this debt in me or on the practice right now, and I have a family to feed. I need to do this, right? Like how can they,
sure,
in your mind, how can they do that?
Well, and I get that, right? That's mm-hmm. part of the reason, because I mean, I've been in dentistry since 2002, so I get it. I mean, I've opened 2 scratch practices. And so if one more sales rep says to me, oh, you just pay this per month and it's 1 more crown a month, you have to sell just 1 more crown a month. It's overwhelming, because you're like, I got to sell 20 extra crowns now because I bought that, you know, 3D cone beam this and that. So mm-hmm. $149 a month was priced for that reason. For even a new doctor coming out of dental school, just buying a practice, they can afford $149 a month. The other thing is it's online training. So not even just me, there's dental groups, dental training groups that have online training. There's videos, there's so many options now that we didn't have when I started. So back in before the internet and all of this online availability, I mean, you had to pack up your team, take them to a seminar, take them to a state meeting, or you would go as the dentist and you'd have to come back and try to teach your team what you learned, which is never as good as letting somebody learn it on their own. Mm-hmm. So it's so easy now that there's no excuse. Part of it, though, is the right mentality of the owner, the right going into it. So to take your team and put them in front of a video, whether you do it as a team or they do it individually, I mean, you're talking an hour a week. If you can commit to doing training, to investing in your team an hour a week, you're going to be more productive and more efficient, and you're going to grow faster. So many times we don't, and especially with a startup, you've got downtime in there. You've got, mm-hmm. you're not completely full. So make it effective and efficient and say, okay, we've got some downtime. So I've seen pictures of my clients, you know, they're all sitting in an operatory eating lunch, or well, at night in the operatory, sitting in the kitchen eating lunch, you know, watching one of the videos, or, mm-hmm. you know, they're sitting around at a team meeting watching a video. And so it's making the most out of your time. There's a famous quote that I love that I quote whenever I speak about from Henry Ford. And he says, you know, if you're afraid to invest in your team and train your team because you're afraid they're going to leave, you should be more afraid of the fact that they're going to stay and not be trained. And that's mm-hmm. what I find is that we're not training our team members well. And so now it's 2, 3, 5 years later, and they're just doing it the way they think is the best. Not that they don't care or anything. They just never got trained right. And now we're just spinning our wheels trying to like grow, but we can't because our team, they're just doing the best they can based off of what they've learned. And mm-hmm. so investing in them is what's really going to help them get better and improve. And your team, everybody needs to grow. You know, everybody needs to learn. Everybody needs to get better. You don't just go, okay, sit here, you're the receptionist, go. I think it makes sense to, you know, get the training and get the resources and help your receptionist and your scheduler and your dental assistants get better, because as your team, just like you do as a doctor, you have CE you have to go to. It's part of the requirements. Mm-hmm. You should have the same thing for your team. You know, the reason they do that is so that everybody can continually improve. And so it's a mind shift. It's a, you know, change in mentality. I will say for the newer dentists starting out, I feel with our clients, it's a lot easier for them because you guys already get the idea. I mean, the other day my son was doing something. He's like, I'll just go to YouTube and figure out how to do it. Like we already have that ability to go, oh, I know how to go to the internet and find a video. Mm-hmm. Where the older doctors, this is harder. You know, this is harder. But for the younger doctors, if you just commit to it, you know, figure out the schedule, which we can help with, and all that, invest in your team, you're going to see growth, long-term growth, a lot faster than just focusing on production.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. All right. So let's dive into one topic I want to discuss that is super important, that we've gotten quite a bit of questions about this, but at the same time, I just want to talk about it too. Recalls and reactivations. How, yep. So many questions, like how do you do it? And when should it be done? Who should be doing this? Are emails and texts better for this? Like, what are your opinions, or what do you suggest?
All right. There's a lot of questions there, right?
Yeah.
Well, first let me start about saying that, I work with a dental metrics company that I have found since I started working with them that most dental offices, they don't realize this, but most dental offices are losing more patients than they're gaining every single month. And what that means is you might be getting 50 new patients a month, mm-hmm. but 75 this month are going inactive. And what that means is they, you know, either they've moved or they passed away or they haven't been in your practice for the last 18 months and they're considered technically inactive. Mm-hmm. So I always start with why. So why is it important to do recall and reactivation? Well, because your practice is shrinking. If you get a snapshot to see how your practice is doing, you're going to find that you're losing more patients than you're getting. And many dental offices, we're all focused on the new patient experience. Let's market it. Let's get the new patients in, which is great. We all need new patients. But if you're losing more patients than you're getting, there's the problem. And I believe that most of the reasons that's happening is because you don't have good systems in place and you don't have amazing customer experience or customer service, which is what I focus on at Front Office Rocks. That being said, the importance of keeping your patients in the schedule and getting them in the schedule or getting them back into the practice is huge. because you've already paid money and invested and worked to get that person to become a patient. And you know, you could probably give the statistics of what it costs to get a new patient. Mm-hmm. You've gotten them now. Let's work to keep them. And so the importance of ReCare is keeping them in, you know, ReCare calls is keeping them in the schedule and getting them to show up. And then reactivation is when they do slip through the cracks for whatever reason, let's get them back in, because there are patients that are valuable to the practice and it's vital that we do it. So mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to just back up and say why this is an important topic, and why the doctors and team members, whoever's listening, really need to focus on this, because it's not always about new patients. And if you really look at your numbers, you're probably losing more patients than you think. And a lot of us have a backdoor problem. So ultimately, with ReCare, let's start with ReCare first. Mm-hmm. You should be reappointing all of your patients before they leave. Everybody should leave with an appointment. 90-95% of your patients should always leave with their next appointment. ReCare appointments, I feel, are the hardest ones to schedule with a patient. Because most of the time, if they're scheduling 6 months from now, they'll be like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing 6 months from now. You know what? I'll call you. Just call me. Just send me an appointment card and I'll mm-hmm. call you. And we have to not let that happen. We have to, as the front office team and the entire team, the doctor and the assistants and hygienists, reiterate the importance of regular ReCares or perio maintenance or whatever it is for the patient, and then get them scheduled while they're there. Because if we don't, what's going to happen is 6 months is going to turn into 12 months. It's going to turn into 18 months. And next thing you know, now we're trying to reactivate them. And really, if we would have gotten them to schedule right then and keep their appointment, we wouldn't have to be reactivating patients. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What excuse, though, do you think there can be for someone leaving without a ReCare appointment?
Very little. So for me, it would be potentially a college student, because they, you know, the family comes to your practice, but the college student goes out of town. They don't know when they're coming back for the holidays. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you put them in the schedule, there's a high chance they're going to fail or not cancel, you know, they'll cancel last minute or something because they're not home. So a college student, maybe somebody who we had some patients who would spend some time, a few months at a time in Mexico and a few months at a time in the United States. So someone like that. But really beyond that, a lot, you know, we'll hear patients say, well, I don't know what I'm doing 6 months from now. Well, and we'll joke. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing 6 months from now either, but let's go ahead and get you in the schedule now, because it's easier to go ahead and track you down and confirm that appointment or move it for you when the time comes than to try to find you in 6 months when you're not appointed. Mm-hmm. So we have to take better control of that. But other than that, maybe if somebody's got some sort of an illness, like they're going through chemo and they have to get cleared through chemo. I mean, there's some rare situations, right? Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. most of the time it's not, I don't have my calendar right now, you know, or I don't know what I'm doing 6 months from now. That's not an acceptable reason.
Mm. Okay. So then from that point on, let's do that. Let's just say like someone says, oh, let me check my calendar and I'll get back to you. What's the next thing they should do?
So a lot of it is confidence of the team or whoever's handling the patient, and then taking control of the conversation. So what I typically do is, or suggest, is when somebody says, well, I don't know what I'm going to be doing 6 months from now, is basically, I mean, I'm not a script person, so it has to come from the heart. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's usually, you know what, and I'll tease, I'll make it lighthearted. You know, I don't know what I'm doing from 6 months from now either, but let's do this. Let's just get you in the schedule. You're going to get a confirmation email or an email about this appointment a month in advance. When it comes closer to that time and you get this email, then you can call us and move it to the right day or time. But it's better to have you in the schedule and have you move it than try to track you down in 6 months, because people get busy. So would you prefer a Tuesday or a Wednesday? Do you want a morning or afternoon? How does July look? Like, just taking control of the conversation, explaining the why to the patient, and then just really being confident with them to say, let's just get you booked. Patients most of the time will go, okay, that's fine. And if you're using a system like we use one in our office where they got an appointment reminder a month in advance, and then they could call and say, I can't, I'm going to be out of town that week, or I need to move this up or down. But everybody knows in the front, like, tracking patients down if they're not in the schedule is a lot harder than getting somebody to call you back that has an appointment. So I'd rather get them in the schedule and get them appointed than you know, just go, oh, okay, well, call us in 6 months, because there's a really good chance they're going to not remember, they're going to fall off the schedule, and then we're going to have to be reactivating them later.
Okay, gotcha. I like that. Okay, so then explain the why to the patient, get them in. So I guess it's more like you said, just have the confidence to,
right,
like, tell them, right? Like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
And again, it's the why, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So the why. So here's the thing. And it's not a, it's not like a unbelievable, nobody knows this, but patients don't like to come to the dentist. They, I mean, I'm sorry. They don't like to come to the dentist. Mm-hmm. So they're going to find every reason to try not to schedule their next appointment. It's just, when they're done with their cleaning or their treatment, they want to get out of there. They just want to move on. And maybe they have the best intention to call, but honestly, they, you know, they're not going to call. So we just need to be confident in that, you know, our why behind it is really to take care of the patient and get them scheduled.
Okay, got you. And then, so let's just say you schedule them, and we already taken care of that, right? What do you suggest for, I guess, reactivating them? So let's just say, what I want to know, actually, I want to know a couple of things when it comes to reactivating. Like, what is an inactive patient? Is it just 18 months and then that's it? They're considered inactive always? Or what do you do if they never answer? What should you do in that scenario? Should you leave a bunch of voicemails? What's the scenario?
So I believe that you should never inactivate, meaning click this patient is inactive in your practice management software ever. Well, I take that back. Unless they say, don't call me anymore, I'm going to another dentist, or they move out of state and they're not coming to you anymore, and they move out of your area, or they pass away. Like, those are, you know, real reasons. But if they just disappear, they just haven't been in and you haven't heard from them, and I would still keep them active and still try to reactivate them, okay? But in the dental consulting world, in the dental world, at 18 months, that patient's considered inactive. Some consultants and speakers believe it's 12 months. Some say 24 months. It doesn't really matter. Most of the softwares out there now, and most of the people, I believe, would say 18 months. So when a patient has not been in your practice in 18 months, technically they're considered inactive. Now, you shouldn't be waiting to 18 months to try to get them back in, right? So we should be trying to get our patients to schedule their recare appointments all the way up to their 6 month mark or their 7 month mark, and then after they're overdue, then it becomes, goes from an overdue recare to a reactivating of patients. So 9 months, 12 months, you know, 13 months, 15 months, we should always be trying to reactivate them. The further out they go, like the longer they go without coming to the dental office, the chance of them coming back, I believe, goes down, because it's been 2 years and 3 years. So this is why we need to actively be trying to reactivate our patients right at the 6 month mark, or if they're not scheduled, then we need to be working at it regularly. I believe, and I've run a dental office for many, many, many years, that most dental offices, reactivation falls at the bottom of the list of things that we do. Because in the front office, we have to answer the phones, verify benefits, check patients in, check patients out, present treatment plans, call patients about their balances, confirm patients. Like, we have a million things that we have to do. And reactivation many times falls to the bottom of the list. You know, we have the best intention, but there's only 8 hours in a day, you know? And so we just don't get to reactivating enough. And next thing you know, it's been 2, 3, 4, 5 months where we haven't even called that patient. You know, we haven't even tried to get them back in. Now, I personally think when patients have disappeared, when they've fallen out of the regular recares with us, the longer they go, the more embarrassed they are, or the more they're less likely to, they'll be more concerned about coming back to the practice. Or they think, well, I haven't gone in 2 years and my teeth seem to be fine, so it must not be that important, right? So we always want to make sure that we're reminding the patients how important it is, that they're always welcome back, that they need to get in. Because if we don't, then either they're thinking, well, it must not be that important, they haven't tried to track me down. Or they're thinking, well, my teeth don't hurt, right? or they're embarrassed and they're like, gosh, it's been 3 years. The hygienist is really going to yell at me if I go back now. So we need to, there's 2 points. Well, there's 3 points. One is we need to remind them the importance of the recare or getting back in. Secondly, we need to make sure that they know they're always welcome back on the practice, because we don't want them calling another office just because it's been 2 or 3 years. And then lastly, we need to get them to schedule. So that's really kind of the purpose behind reactivation calls. Now, when it doesn't happen, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And so I believe a reactivation call, most of the time when we call on the front, when we're making these calls, you get voicemail. You get voicemail. Yeah. And it's you just get discouraged. It's like, I got to leave another message. I already called this guy 8 times in a row and left 8 messages. So there's a couple things. The first is to understand that it's quantity over quality in this case, meaning making as many calls as possible to try to get these patients, just knocking out the calls, like sit down for an hour and just make the calls. Don't worry about going back and reading every single note and every treatment plan and who was called last, because it's quantity, because you're probably going to talk to the least amount of very small percentage of people when you're making these calls. Mm-hmm. The second thing is using technology, you know, using some sort of a software, whether it's like a Revenue Well or a Solution Reach or whatever, to have the emails also going out. Because if you call my voicemail, you'll listen to my message. It'll say, don't leave a message, just text me or email me. Because besides talking on a podcast with you, I don't actually like to talk on the phone. So I'm not going to answer the phone, but I'll respond to an email, right? So using technology. And then the third thing I would say is, making sure the calls are happening, because I bet if you go to look, these calls are actually not happening in most dental offices. So before this, I would say you have to go hire a college student or assign somebody this to just focus on this. But many times that didn't happen in office either. Now there's a service out there. There's a company that I refer to that I love. They do this as a service for clients. So they will actually do reactivation calls for dental offices so that you don't have to, because most of the time it's not happening. So that would be my suggestions, is quantity over quality. It's hard for me to say because that's the opposite of what I normally say. Mm-hmm. Quantity over quality, using technology, and, you know, if it's not happening, which it's not happening a lot of times, then outsource it to a company like CallForce, which is a company that I work with that I love.
CallForce, got you. So then... You're right, because if I would think of it like this, if I were to sit down for an hour, right, and just like block everything out, and maybe call, and I think that's recommended for like a lot of entrepreneurs, right, especially for productivity time or anything like that, just kind of like block things out for an hour. But when it comes to calls, like how many people are going to answer within that hour that you're calling, right? It depends. Like, are they busy? When are you calling them? I don't know, right? So then... that could kind of be like almost like spinning your wheels, right? If you're just calling like at, I don't know, 1 p.m., 2 p.m.?
Yeah.
What times have you seen like where people answer the most?
Oh, well, I think it's going to change and change and change year after year. I think now less and less people are answering the phone, especially when the dental office calls. But during the day, you know, you figure patients are working typically between 8 and 5. Mm-hmm. So they're probably not going to answer their phone between 8 and 5, and especially when it comes to personal calls, like by their dentist and stuff. So I believe, and I have confirmed this, and I'm sure there's studies that he has for this at CallForce, but Corey and I talked about this, where the evenings are the best. That's when you're going to catch people, when they're after work, you know, they're like, okay, I need to schedule that dental appointment, and they're not in the middle of meetings or whatever. So, you know, and that's when CallForce does their calls. I think it's from 5 to 8 or 4:30 to 7:30 or something like that, which I think is great and super smart, because at 4 or 5 o'clock at night, if I'm in the dental office, I'm trying to finish up the day, balance the day out, you know, confirm everything for tomorrow. And I'm trying to get out of there because I've been in the office for 8 hours already. Right. Yeah. Let somebody else make those phone calls. Let somebody else do that over dinner time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you know what? Like, even I guess as like the practice owner, you might want to delegate that to someone. Right. And then you'll say like, okay, I'm going to delegate it to my front office or like my schedule or something. But even then, like, I would think about it and say like, man, it's been like a really tough day today. Like, I don't even want, I'll put this on the schedule for a tomorrow, right? Or something like that. And then they kind of just put it in the back. Because like you said, reactivations are like at the bottom of the list.
Well, and that what would happen in my practice is we would print the report. So you print, I used to teach this. You print a report once a month and then you make reactivation calls. Well, you know, let's say your report is 7 pages long. Okay. Mm-hmm. So most of the time we would start at the beginning of the alphabet or the end of the alphabet. So let's say there was 5 of us up front. You know, I'd say, hey, you start making reactivation calls, you make reactivation calls, and we didn't want to call the same people. So you start at the back of the list, I'll start in the front of the list. And we would never get through the whole report. We just never would because there's just so many other things. And I honestly, when I started researching this and testing it in the office, the people in the middle of the alphabet, like H through S, never seemed to get phone calls from us. Because we were always starting at the beginning and the end, right? Mm-hmm. So for sure. I mean, and for doctors, I know that you say, tell your team, reactivate patients, do recares, do all these things. But realistically, look, I mean, your front office team is probably not sitting around twiddling their thumbs. They're busy and they're having to prioritize their day. And what's going to be the biggest impact? It's probably going to be confirming the patients in the schedule, verifying their benefits, you know, getting referrals, getting them to show up, treatment plans, all of that. It just, in the urgency and the order of priority, reactivation a lot of times falls to the bottom, but it's so super important for a practice.
What have you seen so far when it comes to reactivating patients? Like any of your clients who like are like, oh my God, now that we've done this, Laura, there has been so much revenue coming in, or do you like, what are like the statistics that you see?
You know, I watch a ton on social media, so I don't have a specific statistic, but mm-hmm. I'm in the dental manager groups, all the different Facebook groups and online groups. And I see people talk a lot about, because I know a lot of people who work with like CallForce. And to be honest, I think there's other companies out there that do this, but I haven't seen them, the reviews and stuff about them.
Yeah.
But people will talk about, you know, not all of the reactivation patients show up. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's great. I understand that. So, you know, I'm paying to have them do these calls. I'm paying to have the patient, reactivated and they're not showing up. Well, there's two things from this. One is those that they try to reactivate, they schedule an appointment and then they don't show up. Maybe they don't need to be patients at your practice. Like maybe this is a good way to weed through those ones that just need to go somewhere else, because we're continually putting patients in our schedule that fail on us and that don't show up. Mm-hmm. You're building a schedule that's going to fall apart. So maybe that patient needs to go. But for the ones that show up, and time again, I see people talking about this on social media. You know, we closed an extra $50,000 this month, or we closed 4 cases that was, $10,000 each or whatever from reactivated patients. Because again, these are people who already know you. They've already been in your office. They probably trust you. They probably just have disappeared because life gets busy. They get busy. Things come up. Every time I have to get my oil changed, I'm like, really? It feels like I just got my oil changed. Yeah. This just happens. And when we get them back in and they're like, you know what? I've been meaning to talk to you about this implant, or I've been meaning to talk to you about that Invisalign or whatever. It's worth it then to have the few not show up that maybe just need to go somewhere else and close the cases of the patients who you just haven't been working at very hard to get them back in. Get them back in. They already trust you. They already know you. Now you can close them on the treatment that they need.
Yeah. Okay. Got you. And then so far, do you work with a lot of people who use CallForce?
I do. Actually, I recommend CallForce whenever I'm speaking live. And so I have a lot of clients that work with CallForce. I'm not a dental consultant, so I don't actually monitor my clients' numbers. I'm a trainer, an online trainer. So that's where I'm saying I can't give you real statistics, because I don't go into practices and see their numbers. But I have a multitude of clients who love CallForce. And I'm in a group called the ADOM Dental Spouses Group, which mm-hmm. is a group within ADOM. If anybody doesn't know what that is, look it up. ADOM is the Dental Office Manager Group. And in this group, a lot of the offices use CallForce and always are talking about, oh my gosh, we reactivated a client, a patient who, we finally are doing that big case for them or whatever. So, I've heard amazing positive things.
Yeah. CallForce is amazing, guys. For the audience listening, if you want to check it out, definitely go check it out. They already know they sponsor the podcast, so they're really, really awesome. So another question I had, have you seen through the statistics, or through what you've heard, right? Are emails better? Are text messages better? What do you think?
I think, and this is a whole big conversation that I talk about a lot with regards to communication. So phone calls, especially for reactivation, are the lowest chance of actually reaching the patient. Mm-hmm. But it needs to still happen because of an email or a text isn't as personal. When someone gets a voicemail message and they can hear the voice of somebody from the office, when they hear the voice say, you know, Dr. Smith has been concerned because it's been 2 years since you've been in and Dr. Smith asked me to give you a call. It puts some personalization to it and it motivates the patient in no other way that you can get with an email or a text. However, we're in a technical society, so emails and texts are going to get the response. That's how you're going to get a response. You know, mm-hmm. So let's say a patient, you know, we're trying to reactivate a patient and I get a voicemail and it's Tuesday. And it's like, okay, Dr. Smith really wants to see you. It's been, you know, 18 months. We really need to get you back in. And I'm driving home like, gosh, I really need to schedule that appointment. You know, I've been putting it off and my one tooth's starting to hurt a little bit. But they may not call you on their way home from work. But now let's say they're sitting at their computer at night and they get the email that says, hey, it's been a while since I've seen you. We need to get you scheduled. They're going to respond to that. Now, do they respond because it was the email or because of the voicemail message? I don't know, but I don't care. They responded.
Yeah.
So there's a combination of things because every person is different. Every, you know, and we need to continually be hitting, quote unquote, getting in front of the patient regularly. So when they do have the incentive, that motivation, that okay, it's time to schedule, we're there in front of them and it make it easy for them. And every patient's different. So I don't think there's one right way. I don't think there's one right script. I don't think there's one right email or text. Mm-hmm. I think it's all of it. Understanding that people don't love to go to the dentist and it's our job to continually remind them until we get them back in. Because if we don't get them back in, we can't help them. You know, if they're not there, and they're not in our chairs, then we can't help them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, quick question. A little bit, I guess we're going to kind of like turn a little bit here and pivot. I wanted to ask, or a listener wanted to ask, Daniel Coe, how do you build a schedule with patients on Medicaid due to their history of low show rates? Do you have any experience in this?
Wow. I can't say that I really personally have had experience. We didn't take that in either of our practices.
Mm-hmm.
I have an opinion on them. Okay. So I'm not going to say this is the right opinion. This is just my opinion. And I'm sure there are people out there who specialize in this, but my opinion is, you are going to always have a low turnout rate with somebody who's getting services for free or at a significantly low price. And so I don't know that you can fix that problem. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. I think if somebody's getting something for free or they're getting it for very low price, they're not bought in as much. They're not, they don't, you know, there's just a higher chance that they're just going to go, you know what, I'm not going to go today.
Yeah.
I do think you can do some internal things in your practice, verbal skills, some training with your team on better confirmation calls, better closing, like, treatment plan presentations to make sure that the patient's fully closed and on board to do the treatment. Not building your schedule with people who continually cancel or fail last minute, like, you get one or two shots and after that, you know, you can't come in anymore or whatever. But my biggest piece of advice is don't build a fully Medicaid practice. You know, don't build a practice that is going to be a lot of this because then you're just going to be dealing with it all the time, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So then let's just say they no-show one to two times and then do you call them and tell them like, hey, look, I know you never showed up, but I'm going to fire you anyways from the practice, or how do you do that?
Well, and there's a bigger answer to that. I have a whole training area just on this on Front Office Rock. So if a person keeps failing, stop reappointing them. So if the person fails and doesn't show and they've done it to you a couple times, then you can just let that patient go. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Stop trying to get them back in and trying to get them back in if they're just going to turn around and fail or cancel on you. Now, if you have the conversation with the patient and they understand they can't do that in the future and they tell you they're not going to and you want to give them another chance, great. But at some point, you need to draw a line in the sand and say, you know, now, do you have to send an official letter that says you can no longer be a patient in this practice? Maybe. But many times, no, because it's just let them kind of float away. Let them just go away. and care about the take care of the patients that show up that want to be there. But if you have somebody who continually fails or cancels or doesn't do their treatment plan, and they keep calling every 8 months and want to get back in, and you're tired of it, then maybe it's time to say, you know what, we are just not the best office for you. Now, again, I'm not a Medicaid I don't know about Medicaid, so I don't know if there's rules around that. And that part you'd have to confirm. Yeah. That's just my opinion of, I think it's not even just the Medicaid. So I get on doctors about this all the time. If it's your golf buddy who keeps canceling or no-showing and not showing up for their appointment, and it's the second or third or fourth time, I'm sorry it's your golf buddy, but they're killing our schedule.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is our livelihood. This is our practice. And we need to be in control of the schedule. So anybody who's doing that, in my mind, you know, either they need to be on same-day only appointments, or maybe they need to go to another office because they're just not the right. We don't have to be the dentist for everyone. I mean, I just feel like we need to understand that, you know, some patients, if they're not going to go play by our rules and they're regularly not playing by our rules, we get to decide the rules. We decide who plays the game, you know, and we need to be better and more control of that.
I like that. I like how you just kind of like let them float away. Cause I feel like sometimes whenever we, like, let's just say, for example, I know, remember when I was an office manager and they told us, okay, they no-showed a lot. You're gonna have to send them a formal letter that they're being let go of the practice. And I'm like, okay, let me send one. But then the office manager, or not the office manager, the front scheduler would kind of say, like, I don't know if that's a good idea because what if we get bad reviews? And I'm like, that's another good reason. I feel like there's that battle between, like, oh, what if we get a bad review, right? And I feel like we dread that a lot. And so I like that idea of just letting it float away. Now, if you did have to fire someone, though, what do you think? Like, how does that turn out?
Oh, well, I believe with patients, it's just like employees, okay? So when somebody's no longer, if somebody needs to go, whether it's an employee or a patient, it should be really clear that they know why and it's not a surprise, you know? So for a patient, let's say a patient fails or cancels last minute, I'm going to explain our policy. I'm going to explain to them that they can't do this in the future. I'm going to, you know, I don't even believe in cancellation fees in my mind. I would say, you know, I can charge you. I'm not going to, but I need your agreement that you understand next time you need to give us at least 48-hour notice and get their agreement. And then if they do it again, I'm going to say, listen, this is your second time. If you do this again, we're not going to be able to pre-appoint you again. We're not going to be able to give you another appointment because we've confirmed this with you. This is the second time you've agreed you wouldn't do this in the past. I need you to not do this. So then when they do it the third time, you know, they've already been warned. And you say, you know what? This is the third time that you failed on us last minute. I can't give you another appointment, right? There's no surprise. It's not this like, oh my gosh, nobody's ever told me. It's the same way with employees. You know, if I told you need to be here on time for work and you said you understood and you can be here on time, then you're not on time again. I'm going to sit down and say, listen, it's part of the requirement of being an employee here. I need you to be here on time. And if you turn around and you're not on time again, you know, this is the requirement of your job. If you don't show up again, you're not going to have a job, right? If you don't show up on time, there's no surprise. If I have to let somebody go, it's not like, wow, nobody ever told me. It's, they made the determination that they just couldn't be here on time. And it's no knock against the patient and it's no knock against the employee. It's just not a fit for our practice. Mm-hmm. In our practice, we want to run better control. You know, we want to make sure that we're building the schedule and our team of people who can be there, who can play by the rules. Because ultimately, it's what happens within your four walls. You have full control of your practice. You have control over how you run your schedule, who you hire, who you fire, who you let be a patient in the practice, and you don't have to be the dentist for everybody.
Wow. Man, Laura, I feel like we could talk forever about this. I have so many questions. Like, just in that sentence, I want to ask, like, more questions because why, really quick, why 48 hours? Like, why that number?
So for me, there's different things out there. I think I've heard 72, 24, 48. For me, it's 48 hours because that gives me 2 days to fill the position or fill the appointment. So if you cancel a Wednesday appointment on Monday, I still have all day Tuesday to fill it. If you give me under 24 hours, I'm scrambling now. So I only have a day to fill it. So for me, it's 48 hours. You could do longer. you could do shorter. It's just a matter of how long are you giving yourself to fill the appointment. And I think 48 hours is typical for, mm-hmm. for most places. So that's just kind of my thought, is it gives me the whole next day to fill the appointment slot.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. That's true too, because, and then that's where it goes. Like, okay, for example, say you had to reactivate patients, but then, oh no, some canceled. Now you got to fill that. But you know what I mean? Like your whole schedule shifts. So, yeah. Oh man, jeez, so much, so much work. So
right?
Many questions. Yeah. That's a lot. So before we sign out really quick, like how can people not only like attend your live events, but how can they find like the right, I guess, videos for them, for their team? How do they know? Where do they find all this stuff?
Well, so our website is $149 a month for access to everything. So you don't have to know which videos you need. You just, you pay for the site, you get an onboarding specialist, a customer service rep, and they will learn from you what you want to achieve with the training and then help you implement it for your practice, because every practice is different. You know, every practice is trying to do different things at different times. So there's, you know, we have a sales manager who can do a demo if you want to see it. So if you reach out to us and say, I want to learn more, we can show you the site. It's all online. It's available 24/7. And also, if you go to my website, there's live events on the top right. And you can not only see my own live events that we run, but also meetings and different conferences that I'm speaking at. And then lastly, if you go to the mid page of the homepage or on YouTube, you can see some of the sample videos. So you can get an idea of what the training videos look like that we have. I get 100% positive feedback on them because they're entertaining. They're interesting. They're not just a PowerPoint presentation with a voice behind it. There's actual actors in my videos, and the team loves it because I believe they feel, because I've been in the trenches. I've been in their shoes. I know what it's like to be at 5:30 and go, I didn't make one reactivation call today.
Yeah.
You know, I've been there. And so I speak from their point of view and helping them to figure out how to do the things that we have to do in the front office.
So it's $149 a month for like unlimited access. Do you continue to add to the front office roles?
All the time. Yep, all the time. I just added a couple of videos today. So What I'm doing now is we have the basic videos I've made over the last 5 years. That's the foundation courses. And now what I'm doing is I'm adding new training. And a lot of it is I'm bringing in other professionals, other experts in our industry, mm-hmm. To teach on things like difficult conversations or the importance of the image of your practice. Or I do EagleSoft training and Dentrix training. So I'm now bringing in experts in certain areas to train more in those areas to help teams. And we add new content all the time. I add new documents. It's an ever-growing website. The idea behind it is I want to be a resource for the dentist to go to. My idea is, especially a new dentist starting out, to be able to go, I have no idea what we should be doing in this area. And they can go to my website, get help, find a document, watch a video, and really be kind of like just like we call our dental supply companies to get the supplies, we go to Front Office Rocks to get front office training that we need.
I like that. I like that a lot. So you're always adding to it. And then, man, I'm just kind of like, I don't see why, like, it's $149, guys. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, really? Like, how many members are a part of it so far right now? Or how many people?
Well, we've trained over a couple thousand offices at this point. So, I mean, in every office, each person in your team gets a student account. So we have thousands of members on the website at any given time. We have your large offices, 4, 5, 6 location offices with, you know, 50 plus students. And then we have the small dentist with one dentist and one front office person. So it really just varies. But yeah, and I think last we counted in the front office, there's over 200 videos. In the back office training, we just added probably 50 new videos. We have 25, 30 webinars. I'm doing new ones all the time. We've got a couple hundred hundred documents on there. I mean, like, and the cool thing about it that I love, I'm just like you're growing and adding, we are too. We added a search function so you can search the website and pull out of the website, because there's so much content mm-hmm. that you can search a word like reactivation and anything having to do with reactivation, whether it's an article, a podcast, a resource, an interview, a webinar, whatever, it'll come up. so you can get the data you need when you need it, because every office is different. You know, I couldn't design something that said, do this from A to Z and it'll fix your office. I needed to have something that you can use it in your office for what you need at that time.
Oh, got you. So this is like almost like a membership site, right?
Yep.
Man, I got to pick your brain later, Laura, because we're always adding to our ground marketing course. And I'm like, man, this should just be like a membership site. But I don't know. You know what I mean? It's a lot of IT in it. You got it down. So you got it. So anyways, guys, if you are interested, I mean, it's $149 a month. And like, I literally only asked Laura two questions, or like, I asked more questions, but like, it was based around two topics, right? And we're like already at an hour. So I mean, imagine like everything else, and everything has scripts, right? Like, I mean, not scripts, but like templates, outlines, and everything like that, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Why? Yep. You can take anything that we put on the site, download it, and then edit it to work in your office. So new patient call-in forms, and organization and check sheets, and job descriptions, and, you know, interview outlines and everything, it's there. And if it's not there, then my customer service reps, if somebody needs something, they'll come to me and I'll write it, or I'll make a video about it, or I'll answer it, and then we add it to the site.
Wow, that's really awesome. All right, so really quick, Laura, before we sign off, tell our listeners where they can find you.
frontofficerocks.com. So, and my thought behind that, just so everybody knows, when you're hiring your new team, the front office is they're rock stars, because they're the first and last impression for every patient experience in your practice. So invest in them, train them. And front office team members, you're a rock star. So get out there, learn, and do the best you can, because the patients, they don't know whether we're good dentists or not. They know how they feel when they're in the office. So give them the best experience possible.
Awesome. All right, Laura, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. It was fun.
And we're back. I hope you guys really enjoy that episode. It's so many. Let me get my notes. So many. I had my food on top of my notes. So many interesting points here. Oh, man. I feel like I can talk to Laura Hatch about just everything front office related, and we can create like a whole separate podcast on that, which idea sparked, Laura. Maybe we can do something like that, or a segment on here. I don't know. Let's brainstorm. But I like, let me tell you some of my key takeaways. Sorry, my key takeaways. Number one is too focused on production, and they can't train. And that who's guilty of that? I mean, like, I'm even guilty of that in my own team, where like, I'm at the beginning, I was too focused, right? Like, oh, we got to make money. And I know a lot of dental offices, not even at the beginning, just from a lot of the times, they're like, we have to focus on production, that we don't stop to train the employees on what they're doing. So like, for example, you're pouring money into marketing, but nobody's answering the phones properly, or nobody's even answering the phones, right? Then what? What's going to happen then, right? Or let's just say you are scheduling patients, but the back door is open, meaning like, okay, who's doing the recalls and the reactivations? Is anybody doing it? Or are we just consistently trying to get new patients, but not bringing in the returning patients? Or are we scheduling treatment again? What's happening, right? So that is super important to train your team in that. I like how she says care outweighs experience. That's so true, right? When it comes to doing what you're doing, when it comes to doing dentistry, you have to care. And that is so important, especially if you're looking for a ground marketer, or if you're looking for someone to do ground marketing, they have to care. That matters more than anything, in the sense like, if they're not bubbly, outgoing, a go-getter, if they're not caring, but you're like, oh, they know about dentistry, they used to be a dental assistant, so that's a plus, right? No, that's not a plus. They just know about dentistry. I mean, that can be taught, right? But if their personality is not where it should be, then they're not going to be great at what they're supposed to be doing, which is bringing in new patients immediately. So that's super important. That's why I really like that takeaway. I like how we talk about what we should do with our inactive patients. I like how we talk about what excuse can be there for someone leaving without a recare appointment, right? So she mentions like, okay, there can be a couple excuses, right? Like death, and maybe they moved super far away and so forth. So, and also like about how we talked about when should you deactivate a patient and how to recall and reactivate. your patients, right? That's super important. There's not really a specific, I mean, if you're talking to other consultants, they'll tell you, like she said, 18 months, 12 months or so forth, but it's up to you, right? And you got to make sure you're doing these recalls and reactivations. And a lot of the times they're put on the back burner. They're put on the back of our mind because we're busy. Everybody's busy doing stuff, right? So they're just in the very, very back, and you think you're going to get to them, but you don't. And then the next day comes and you don't, right? And then the next day comes and you don't. And then just they just pile up. So if that's you, guys, I recommend you get CallForce. Not only do I recommend it, but Laura Hatch also recommends it. So you know CallForce is doing amazing things. I highly recommend, strongly recommend, if you feel like, man, my recalls are just not up to par, they're not where they're supposed to be, they're just piling up, guys, get CallForce. And if you use the link in the show notes below, or you mention the Dental Marketer podcast, or you mention this episode, you do get an exclusive deal when you sign up with CallForce, and that exclusive deal is in the show notes below. So definitely, guys, go check out CallForce and let me know what were some of your takeaways from this episode. And don't forget to join the Dental Marketer Society. That's the new Facebook group. Just go in the show notes below and click on that and check out CallForce. Okay, definitely check out CallForce, especially if this episode spoke to you and you said, you know what, that's it, I'm done, I'm gonna start reactivating, I'm gonna start doing my recalls, I'm on top of it, I'm gonna get CallForce, or I'm gonna try them out at least. Go in the show notes below, click on the image, click on the link, check out their exclusive deal, and let's get these recalls and patients reactivated. So guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and I'll talk to you soon.